Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle. The weekly wrap on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning. Thanks for joining me on the Breakfast Huddle. It's me, Ryan Huang, and this is the Weekly Wrap. And we are turning our attention to headlines that made the local news this week. And among them, Singapore's manufacturing output shrank in December for a third straight month. So not as bad as what some were fearing, but some analysts warning that this lackluster performance could continue for a while. And that is alongside high core inflation that's looking challenging to tame in the year ahead, especially with the GST tax hike factored in. Plus, Singapore is continuing to invest in building up local tech talent, despite the recent layoffs we've been seeing across the world in those tech giants that have been making the news. And all that as Communications and Information Minister Josephine Teo tried to talk about launching more initiatives to step up talent on the local front. And she notes that some industries, already some sectors, are starting to ramp up the hiring of tech talent. Let's unpack it with our guest, Song Seng Woon. He is an economist at CIMB Private Banking. Morning, Uncle Song. How are you doing today?
Good morning and happy Lunar New Year for those celebrating still.
Happy Lunar New Year to you too, Uncle Song. Well, it's been a rather, well, positively, or I would say cautiously optimistic year so far. It's been indeed a mix of good and bad news. We've been seeing recently a couple of negative news headlines around these tech companies, Microsoft, Amazon, cutting some 28,000 jobs worldwide, and we might be hearing more of such news in the coming weeks. So when you look at this and what Singapore is trying to do, ramp up tech talent, how much of this does it make sense? Is the demand still as strong as before?
Yeah, I think the underlying demand is certainly there. I mean, when we come back to go back to those who has announced, whether it's Microsoft, Amazon, I think Intel, IBM, I mean, collectively, their labor force, I think, easily crossed 2 million. So a couple of thousands, or even tens of thousands at this juncture, might on its own look a very large number relative to the total global force, small fraction, but still, there's still people's paycheck on the line. Thus far, I would say, because we have seen significant ramp up in hiring across many divisions, across many of these tech, old fashioned one, new one, startup, fintech, I think where we are seeing now against a backdrop of higher costs, having to rationalize investment because put money in the bank can give you return already, I think companies, whether you're in the tech space or elsewhere, are being a bit more careful, especially against a backdrop of worries about recessions, lower demand. So I think companies are a bit more careful, rationalizing essentially their expenses and looking at whether demand is still going to be as robust in the area that they're in. But certainly elsewhere, we are seeing companies also hiring. Again, if we are still going to be pushing ahead, and certainly we are on the digitalization front, make companies more efficient, streamline processes. I think whether in tech space, whether you're a coder, whether you're an engineer, people are still looking at whether you're working in the bank or whether you're working for SMB companies. I think the back room demand for all these highly skilled workers, whether they are, you know, as R&D side or whether they are as coders, as I say, or even in running admin, they're still in demand, fortunately.
Yeah, this is a very good point, Uncle Song. So when you look at all the talk about a possible risk of a recession in the US, in Europe and other places, how much is Singapore actually exposed to this? Because there's some talk about how Singapore is, in some sense, decoupled from a risk of a US recession.
Indeed. Well, speaking of US recession, it looks like if yesterday's figures from the US anything to go by, it looks like to be in a very nice spot where jobs are still being created. We see a decline in weekly jobs claim again. We see a headline GDP still growing, although spending has cooled off, inflation has cooled off. So that's positive. So we may get that at this juncture, very nice environment where, yes, there are job cuts, yet we are still seeing hiring taking place. We're still seeing spending, but not as robust as before. So take a bit of the heat as far as inflation pressure is concerned. So coming back to Singapore, I think we are in a not dissimilar position in that while we talk about slower growth, or we're talking about certainly companies in tech space are letting off workers, more jobs are still being created in Singapore than us losing jobs similarly elsewhere as well. So if that's the case, then I think it still would be supportive of underlying macro environment. You and I, as workers, will still see, I think, small wage increase because demand for labor is still fairly resilient. And I suppose this is where we will be seeing to what extent jobs are being lost, but yet jobs are being created elsewhere in other industries and sectors. Even within manufacturing, as we are seeing a cooling off, as you earlier talked about, the slowdown that we are seeing in factory output, for instance.
Yeah, Uncle, so how do you see this playing out through the year? Because there's been some optimism that things could rebound in the second half of the year. So is the worst, in a sense, over when it comes to the layoff headlines?
This is where it gets interesting in terms of how companies then look at their bottom line. Are we seeing still the kind of sales they're doing? How much are we seeing in terms of slowdown? How it is stacking up against our costs? It's all about to what extent companies can still, let's say, make money on their investment, on their hiring. For now, it looks like there is still room in terms of growth because consumers are still spending more modestly because of higher costs and higher costs of borrowing, and hiring are still taking place. So it's for now, we're still looking essentially at the bottom line, which is the labor market condition. Are jobs still being created than lost? So far still is. So I suppose, fingers crossed, you know, soft landing underway for now. Jobs are still being created. So that's still supportive of spending for now.
Okay, and if you look at the inflation picture, Uncle Song, latest reading for December, 5.1%, unchanged for the past three months. So it kind of indicates that things are sticky. When you look into the details, what's contributing to this? Are we seeing a shift anywhere in terms of what's driving inflation, for example, the domestic cost pressures?
Well, clearly, you and I, you know, whether it's roti prata or a bowl of biryani rice, they all cost more. And looks like it's not going to come off anytime soon, certainly in terms of the wobbly weather that we're seeing. All these things are adding to worries of supply disruption if lettuce from the highlands are being rained out or tomato on the vines are being rained out because of just essentially adverse weather. It adds on to supply worries and therefore, in that sense, pressure on prices. At least on the plus side, where we are at least more seeing signs of hope is a stability in, say, energy prices. For the last past year, we're worried about the impact of the Ukraine war and energy supply and on a whole host of other impact on cereal prices, etc. This has stabilized, but what we are also now watching is to what extent the impact of China reopening may add on to underlying demand, which may then put pressure on prices again. So essentially watching how these things are going to be playing out. But it doesn't look like, for now, looks like we're going to be seeing prices going to come off significantly anytime soon. Although, at least on the plus side, it doesn't look like it's going to be accelerating and picking up from this point as well.
Yeah, China does look like a double-edged sword, at least for now. Demand to help exports, but at the same time, you've got the inflation side of things to look at. If you talk about the China reopening story, it could also raise the demand for commodities. And this is where we're going to turn attention to what's playing out in Europe, the Russia-Ukraine war. So we've got Germany, the US, and now perhaps more down the road, sending tanks to Ukraine. Yeah. So this could see an escalation in tensions. Is this a huge risk for oil prices?
Indeed. As we speak, we're now 1 year into the Ukraine-Russian war. So far, I think we have been able to take things in stride. Obviously, geopolitical risk and tension on the front remains high, whether it is in Europe and elsewhere. And essentially, we are still, in that sense, watching on impact on the global supply chain, whether it is in grain or whether it's in energy. I think we have lived and worked around these constraints for now. And if we are able to cope over the past year somewhat but without adverse impact on the global economy or modestly only, then I think we going forward, unless we see a significant deterioration and spillover effect of war into something more wider, then we start to worry a bit more. But certainly for now, I think we're just essentially keeping fingers crossed. We've got essentially the last 3 years, crisis upon crisis, whether it is from the pandemic or supply chain, you know, we don't have to look too far back. Remember, we had a great chicken, fresh chicken run of last year, where we started running a fresh chicken for our chicken rice. We move on from there. We have been able to cope. I think, fingers crossed, you know, we have put, I suppose, backup in place to allow us to at least maneuver around. But all these things adds on to cost, which is why I come back to the earlier point that while food prices may have peaked, it may not come up in a hurry anytime soon. And especially if the demands do remain resilient, then even the supply disruption may not worsen from this point onward. And at least on the plus side, freight costs in terms of shipping all these goods around has come off because situation has stabilized somewhat. But the underlying food costs, as well as demand for labor, may just add on to inflation pressure.
Yeah, it does sound like the lesson this year for businesses to take away is to diversify, especially you pointed out chicken supplies last year and all the blind spots they couldn't see.
Yeah, you have plan A and plan B, and you might have to work out where plan C is actually contingent upon what we've essentially coped with over the past 3 years.
All right, we'll catch up with you again down the road. Uncle Song, we'll be chatting Song Seng Woon. He's an economist at CIMB Private Banking. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Uncle Song.
Speak again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.